Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show podcast edition. Joining us, as always, the Prince of Twitter, the Regent of RedState.com, Andrew Malcolm, at AHMalcolm on Twitter. I just love doing that introduction.
I know. After all these years, I have to smile.
You know, and while we like to joke around that we're the two old guys on The Muppet Show, you know, Statler and Waldorf, or Waldorf and Statler, whichever direction it goes, and I don't know which one of us is which anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the nice thing is that we can actually get through a podcast without staring blankly into the camera and having our jaw go slack and look like we're not paying attention to each other. And I mean, I don't know if we're, maybe we aren't paying attention to each other, but at least we can make it look that way, Andrew.
Isn't that something?
I gotta tell you, I knew it was going to be bad. I didn't want to watch the thing because I just thought this is going to be a train wreck. And even I underestimated how bad that was going to be. It was from the moment he stepped foot out there, and you got to call him up, by the way, that talks a little bit about this. Joe Biden is the cheap fake, which is focused on the media, which I also focused on afterwards. But let's talk about the debate first. I mean, this was horrible. It was horrible to watch. It almost felt like elder abuse to watch that debate.
Yeah, it is. Well, to my mind, it's definitely elder abuse what Jill is doing to him. Did you see the rally afterwards?
Oh,
wasn't that cringeworthy? And Joe, you answered every question and you did it so well. And he's just standing there.
Yeah, like lost in a fog. He's standing there lost in a fog. Oh, she's saying nice things about me. I'm not sure what, but okay.
Should I do anything? And then he turned, he heard the crowd cheering and he turned. It's just, it's awful. I if that was my dad, he would have been out of there so fast. I don't care how much money they're making off of his name. It's just mortifying. And that's just on a personal level, because we've all had elderly relatives who have drifted away. And that's sad. It's, I guess, inevitable. It certainly isn't reversible. So I don't know. You know, I saw a piece saying that Biden really wants to do the September debate.
Do you believe that for a second?
No, I'm not sure. As I said in the column, I'm not sure he's going to be the nominee in September 10th or whenever it is. But he's not going to get better. Now, he shows that signs of that sundown syndrome.
Yes. And
his people intentionally, and I guess they've said this, schedule things between 10 and 4, and he doesn't do anything after. Well, this is 5 hours after 4. And I mean, I don't think they're going to do the September debate at lunchtime just to suit his mental fitness. I mean, if I was Trump, I don't know that I'd do it, but maybe he thinks he can drive him into the ground even more. I don't know. It's sad on a personal level. I mean, I'm not fond of Joe Biden, but just to see an old man being humiliated by his own actions like that. But from a more important point of view, the nation is not being well served. I mean, this guy has access to the nuclear launch codes, and he can tell foreign leaders, provocative things. Remember, he said it was a year and a half ago or so, where he said, "Well, Putin has to go." We're not in this for regime change. I mean, we hope it might come, but be careful what you wish for, and be careful what you wish for in terms of somebody other than Biden replacing him, because the antipathy towards Trump remains strong. And against Biden, he looks like a good alternative or acceptable alternative, but against somebody else, I don't know.
There's a lot to unpack here, right?
Well, you go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, but I forget what I was going to say. Pause. You know, it's one thing to lose your thought, you know, train of thought when you're in the middle of a debate. You know, things, you know, people get nervous and they do. They forget their train of thought sometimes. You don't have to be suffering from cognitive decline to get that. But what I think was the most damning part of that was not just the fact that, you know, he was rambling on without finishing sentences or coherent thoughts, but also the fact that apparently nobody told him that the camera was going to stay on him the whole time. And whenever he wasn't talking, he had this look.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking down.
He went into the fog.
He went into the fog, and he's like, even when Trump was talking, he would, like,
yeah.
You know, like, he wasn't there. And here's the thing, and this is where we're going to get into the media thing, because you're right. American public is not being well served. I would argue that the media has deliberately gaslit the American public about Joe Biden's cognitive decline. I mean, I thought he was already declining in 2019 when he was.
Yes, he was. He was. Yeah.
And there's a new clip out today, and I forget who had it out on Twitter. Joe Biden in 2019, Joe Biden in the debate. And there's a vast difference even between that. Yeah. And I didn't think he was really all that with it during the debates. And you look at this and he looks 20 years younger. He sounds 20 years younger. And it was just 5 years ago.
Yeah. And, well, remember, it was the dog pony soldier. He got angry at somebody who argued with him in a town hall. And he also asked the people of Iowa what they thought about the Ohio infrastructure. And when you'd see him leaving the events, they had a woman, a large woman, get between him and the media and take his arm and just take him out to the car. Well, you know, if you're in a campaign, you want publicity. So obviously they were hiding something. And you could see it, except that the people who didn't like Donald Trump didn't want to see it. And so they didn't, and he got elected.
And again, this is 2019, or 2020, really, 2020. Yeah. 4 years later, there is absolutely no doubt that this guy is not competent to do job. I mean, absolutely. If you're the Dr. Pepper president, and you're only good at 10, 2, and 4, how's that for a cultural preference? Of course, I can only pull that one from the ether, because I happen to live where where Dr. Pepper was invented, and they have a great museum here. So the 10, 2, and 4 thing, okay, I remember from my childhood, is very much present here where I live. But that was the first thing I thought of. Is he Dr. Pepper president? He's only good between 10, 2, and 4. And after that, forget it. You could see this. I mean, the next day they had him out on the stump. You know, the first thing that you knew that when you realized that they were going to try to gaslight what was going on, it was right in the middle of the debate, right? I think we're about 40 minutes into the debate, right? And there's a tweet out that goes out. It says, White House says Joe Biden has a cold.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? You're running. I mean, if you're saying that in the middle of the debate, then and then the next day he's on the stump in the daytime, right? Reading from a teleprompter. And even then, you know, he was able to do that, but even then he stepped away from the teleprompter and he kind of looked lost behind Jill Biden while Jill Biden was whipping up the crowd.
And let's just think about this. The commander in chief has a cold, so he's suddenly incompetent.
Politburo. That's the Soviet Politburo. Remember in the 1980s when the first secretaries of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union had a series of colds?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is like, we're going along the way. I mean, that's the first thing that came to mind when they, well, the president's got a cold. Oh, so we're back to the Politburo days. This is great.
And so media has a lot to answer for.
Yes. They've lied.
Yeah, and now they're trying to cover themselves by coming down hard, or at least pretending to. That, oh my gosh, this is a crisis, and who's going to replace him, and all of that. Well, it's been a crisis for a very long time already.
And let's talk about the media reaction, right? Because the very first instinct of the media was like, holy crap. It was like the scene from Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
You know, holy cow, gentlemen, we got to save our phony baloney jobs. Rump, rump, rump. So they started reporting, oh, there's panic breaking out across the Democratic Party. Well, I don't, that much I believe, right?
And there was, I believe, panic breaking out in the media that had supported him all this way, Mika Brzezinski and the whole crowd.
Yeah, yeah. You know, over at Racket News, you know, which is Matt Taibbi's Substack, one of his writing partners, Matt Orfalea, has a 6-minute video that is Joe Biden, cuts from Joe Biden at the debate, mostly reaction shots, that is overlaid with all sorts of media people and you know, Democrat officials claiming that Joe Biden is sharp as a tack. And I'd play it now, but I mean, just go over to, you know, Racket News on Substack. I think John, by the time this goes up on Tuesday, John will have already written about it yesterday. He's got a post that's working. In fact, I was going to stick it in the headlines, but then I saw John was working on a post, so I took it back out. But I mean, this is why I was so angry. I wrote a post that went up on Friday morning, but I was so angry at the end of that debate that I actually wrote it before I went to bed because I needed to get it out of my system.
Ed was pumped.
I was pumped. I was very angry. And my point of this was everybody involved from the Democrat Party and the media just got exposed for a conspiracy to defraud the American public.
Yeah,
they knew there's no possible way they couldn't have known that Joe Biden was this bad off. And yet they were insisting that the emperor still had clothes, that he wasn't standing there naked on stage. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And, you know,
it's betrayal.
What's the media here for? This is my question for you. What is the media? Why do we have a media industry in America? It's to keep people informed and to hold government accountable for its actions, right? At least that's what I kind of thought they were there for.
Even in Revolutionary War days, the founding fathers, who were sometimes the victims of media distortions, the founding fathers knew that there had to be constitutional protections for the media, or in those days, the press, as government watchdogs. So the betrayal is that they're not watching the government. They're watching their own butts and their own partisan desires and narratives to protect them and to perpetuate them. And that's a betrayal. That's a flat-out betrayal. And I said in the column Sunday, I don't know how, but I don't even know if the media can restore their trust. It'll be a long time coming.
Well, you made a good point. I made the same point, right? Because, I mean, the headline of your piece is Joe Biden is the cheap fake, right? And both you and I landed on this because for the 2 weeks prior to the debate, the White House had created this cheap fake thing, which was that these videos that showed Joe Biden non compos mentis weren't actually edited in some fashion, but they were presented without context, and that made them into cheap fakes, right? That basically they were telling people, see what I tell you, don't believe your own lying eyes, right? Which is the epitome of gaslighting people. It's to tell them that you can't believe what you see and what you know. You have to just believe what it is that we're telling you. And the media ran with this. The New York Times, NPR, Washington Post did things on cheap fakes and cheap fakes and how those were, you know, misleading and sort of misinformation-y kind of sort of thingies and stuff like that. And then Thursday night happens, and which, and David called it a 90-minute cheap fake, which I thought was the best description of this. It was a 90-minute cheap fake. It was 90 minutes of Joe Biden making it very clear that he is no longer there. He's just And, you know, so it goes beyond just, well, not reporting on things.
But wait a minute. The hell with Joe Biden. What about the country? We have a commander in chief that you can't trust. If there was a crisis, God forbid, he's going to tell our volunteers, troops, all of them volunteers, he's going to tell them that he's going to send them into this guy who doesn't know the day of the week is going to send them into harm's way. That's just incomprehensible. And we're stuck with him. You know, Putin didn't invade Ukraine when Trump was there. He invaded Crimea when Obama and Biden were there. Then he held off because, for all of his faults, Donald Trump is unpredictable in diplomacy, which is what you want. You want them to go, I don't know how he's going to act. And that's very helpful. Now, you don't want allies to doubt it, which I think many of them are now. And then, of course, this, what was it, about 6 weeks after Biden came in and Trump was gone, Putin started organizing the invasion. And the next year, he did it. You know, I mean, this is not, this is not a coincidence.
No.
North Korea holding off on their ICBM test during Trump's tenure. You know, I mean, there's a reason. And that is, you got a tough guy in there. And sometimes tough guys are tough. And sometimes, you know, they're swearing and they're crude. But.
And they make mean tweets.
Mean tweets. Oh, my God.
We should talk a little bit about Donald Trump's performance, though, at the debate, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, look.
I think that zinger was rehearsed. I think that zinger was rehearsed.
I think you're right, although he deployed it masterfully.
Oh, it's perfect. It's like Reagan. You know, I'm not going to hold my opponent's youth against him.
I don't understand what he just said, and I don't think he understands what he just said.
Right. And the beauty of it is that he did it after some puzzling faces, but not mocking, not being a bully, just like, wow, I don't understand that, but here's what I'm thinking, you know? And he didn't say, I don't think anybody understand him, because that's not his purpose. He was debating, and it should be him. I didn't understand what he said.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very skillful, which to me said, okay, this is practice, which doesn't make it any less powerful, you know.
Or any less benefit either.
No, I know. I knew John F. Kennedy, and you're no John F. Kennedy. I mean, all those zingers are rehearsed. And not bad.
I hate debates. That's why I hate debates, too, because it's really
the only thing. Oh, I know. Debates don't test anything that a president needs.
It did in this case. As much as I hate debates, it did in this case because, as it turns out, both candidates were facing the same test in this debate. I was making this point on Relevant Radio, which is a fitness for office test. Two very different contexts, right? One is Donald Trump being a wild man and, you know, allegedly not constrained by the law or the Constitution. And is he fit for office in that sense? And the other is Biden physically and mentally fit for the job? And Biden clearly failed that. I would say that Donald Trump went some ways to make his case on fitness for office. But I think that the first half hour especially was good. The second two half hours, I think he was just too much being, I'm the best, I'm the greatest, everybody agrees with me.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. He got what's the word? He knew he was winning, and he, instead of letting himself win, he jumped on. But I think, I mean, this is what I said in the column. It's an exquisite piece of karma that Joe Biden demanded an early debate. He got it.
Yeah.
He demanded cut off microphones. He got it. He demanded no audience. He got it. And it helped Trump. I mean, it was all good for Trump. Trump accepted it. And some people at the time said, oh boy, he caved. He should have been tougher. No, he got reporters who were against him. He got a network that's against him. And he just agreed to all the conditions, and the muted microphone and no audience actually helped him, because it forced Trump to pay attention to what was going on rather than playing to the audience.
Yep.
And he came across, I thought, very well most of the time.
You know, I kind of predicted that those rules were going to benefit Trump, because it would make him more disciplined.
Yeah.
Because he feeds off of crowds, and both negative feedback and positive feedback, he gets energized by it. So yes, I think it helped him be more disciplined. Let's talk a little bit about the moderators here too. CNN.
Yeah, I thought they did a hell of a job.
I thought they did well too. You know, there was a lot of pushback from, you know, Trump's base and some others saying, why would you agree to conditions of doing it on CNN, and especially with Jake Tapper and Dana Bash? Now, I actually think that Jake Tapper and Dana Bash have been fair before in debates. And of course, CNN, I think, learned a really good lesson from the Candy Crowley thing 12 years ago, and made it clear even before the debate that they were not going to fact check candidates during the debate, that they were just going to ask questions, get the answers, ask some follow-ups, and that's it. And, you know, somebody said during the middle of the debate, you can tell who's losing by which side is complaining about the moderators. And they were all, you know, the Democrats were all furious with Jake Tapper and Dana Bash for doing what they said they were going to do, which is just to ask questions and let the two debate each other.
Exactly. I thought they did very well. And they actually were accommodating, where they said, you know, you've still got 45 seconds left. Would you like to continue? Or coming back to the question and giving them another chance, and which points out that they dodged the question. Or maybe it was accidental, probably dodging, but and gave them a chance. I thought it was very professional, very well done. And probably has a lot to do with the new ownership of CNN.
Well, I'm not necessarily sure if it's the new ownership that, because of course Tapper and Bash have been around for quite a long time. They've been doing debates.
No, but they were told what to do, and they did.
Possibly true. Possibly true. I think it may have been the moment, right? I think that they wanted to demonstrate. I think they really wanted these two candidates to debate each other. And I honestly think in some quarters of the media that they actively fooled themselves into thinking that Joe Biden would step up and be prepared for this.
Well, now, if you watch the State of the Union, he did.
Well,
and the State of the Union was in the evening too, but that was months ago.
And it wasn't a debate. It was an It wasn't an extemporaneous speech. It was a speech on teleprompter.
Right.
All he was doing was reading from that. And people don't remember this, but in the State of the Union speech, he started off talking double speed, kind of like he did when he came out on stage.
And he was yelling.
Yelling. And then about halfway through the State of the Union speech, it got quieter and slower. And he was clearly running out of energy, right? This time, it happened almost immediately. He came out and was doing the double speed talking, not getting his words out, not enunciating, really not even inflected to a certain extent. And then almost immediately, it was like, slack jawed, staring off into space. And the only time he was ever engaged is when he was demonstrating his, you know, hatred for Trump.
Yeah, right.
You know, the idea that I think somebody counted up the idea that there was like 39 of them. The idea that Donald Trump, blah, blah,
or first, or number one. Yeah.
Or here's the deal. You know, all the verbal tics were out there. There was no substance out there at all. And so in the end, the media had to rely on, well, Donald Trump lied. Well, they were both lying. They're both lying. You know, I would say that Biden had the lie of the night by claiming that no troops had been killed in action under his presidency, forgetting that 13 of them were killed in Afghanistan during that debacle, which I was glad Trump kept hammering him with. But also, there have been others killed in action as well. There was at least a couple that were killed off the coast of Africa trying to interdict Iranian weapons to the Houthis. There were troops killed in Jordan when if you're going to have American troops in the field in hostile territory, you're going to take some casualties. You'd be extraordinarily fortunate not to take some casualties, but to claim that you didn't take any, especially after the Abbey Gate debacle in Kabul, I mean, it's a despicable lie in defense of a despicable action. And Trump was also right to point out who got fired. This was a disaster. Who got fired for the disaster? Nobody.
I believe it was Biden's fault. You know, the Pentagon gave him advice on what to do, and their advice, I can't believe they agreed with changing the dates two times into the peak fighting season, out of the non-fighting season, and not having at least 2,500 troops there to organize and monitor an evacuation. And he said, no, everybody out. So they followed orders. But at the same time, they were preparing 8,000 troops somewhere else on standby, and they sure enough needed them to go back in and get 100,000 people out, even though there were a lot more than that left behind.
I guess the question is, where do Democrats go from here? Because in the initial,
I hope they don't go anywhere. They shouldn't go anywhere.
I think that the Trump campaign is deliberately laying off, right? They're deliberately, in golf terms, since we had a golf debate in the middle or at the end of this debate, who's got the better handicap, as if Joe Biden could carry his own bags. The last time Joe Biden carried his own bags is probably before he got married. When you're in the Senate, you don't carry your own bags. You have caddies do that for you, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't even understand that whole sequence, but, you know, in the 24 hours afterwards, there was a lot of calls for Biden to withdraw from the race. The New York Times, the editorial board of the New York Times, Friday afternoon said, for the sake of the country and Biden's legacy, he must withdraw. And Atlanta Journal-Constitution said the same thing. You had various different Democrats. And then all of a sudden that started going away.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Yeah,
everything seems worse at the moment. And I remember when I worked on the Bush campaign, the first one, the second Bush's first campaign, and there were crises there. And the more experienced bosses said, hang on. And they weathered them. And not only won once, but they won twice. So that was a good lesson for me, that you don't join the panic and go, oh my God, it's over, he's dead in the water, blah, blah, blah. Nope, there's a lot to go yet, and things can change. Well, they changed radically Thursday night. They can change again.
Yeah, but I don't know that you come back from looking like you're suffering from dementia. I mean, Reagan had a rough first debate, but it wasn't a situation where his cognitive thinking was really impaired.
That's right.
he was off his game and seemed old in that first debate, but not senile, right?
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, the worst thing, I think there may be worse things I can't think of right now, but the worst thing for a politician, especially an incumbent, is to make a mistake that confirms suspicions.
Yeah.
So people were suspect. I mean, a lot of people knew, we knew, you and I talked about it, but a lot of people were suspecting, you know, they heard a lot of stuff and it's bad. And then they see it and it's like putting it in cement. You're not gonna undo it, which is why you could see they knew right away what Anita Dunn saying. Well, yeah, he started off slow, and then Biden saying, "Well, you know, I'm older and I'm a little slower." I mean, you had to give the anger something. You know, I screwed up, but boy, I'm coming back on September 10th. I don't know.
What are the odds that there's going to be, because they're not going to replace him? I think what's clear now that, and we're on Monday afternoon, right? So we're now, what, 96 hours or, well, maybe about 84 hours post-debate at this point in time, or 90 hours post-debate. And what's become clear over the weekend is that the narrative is now set that it was just one bad night. Maybe Joe doesn't debate so well anymore, but he can still do the job. And, you know, the family is out there. You know, they had the big family meeting at Camp David yesterday. They had the Annie Leibovitz photo shoot going on. So it was planned before the debate that they were all going to be there anyway. You've got Jill Biden on Vogue, the cover of Vogue. Talk about the worst possible timing, right? Whole country is wondering who's really in charge, and there's Jill Biden on Vogue, on the cover of Vogue. It's clear that the Bidens don't want to give up the sinecure. And it's also clear that really there's no good out for the Democrats in this. They've already held their primaries. 14 million people voted for Joe Biden in primaries, and those votes are binding on the Democrats. Unless Biden voluntarily withdraws, he owns those delegates, and he also owns all the money they've raised for the campaign.
Yeah.
So
no, I think you're right. I don't think anything happens before the convention. However, after the convention, according to a post that actually Jennifer Van Laar put up, there are ways for them to replace it. What is it? Death, something, and resignation. So,
well, I think he could do the 25th Amendment, right? And then he could get
a grand send off, 4 days of glory. Oh my God, the leadership you've provided is just wonderful. Now get the hell down to the beach and stay there, and find somebody else. And you know, your guess is as good as mine who the alternative would be. But I think the Trump people are praying that it doesn't change.
Well, I think
what happens? You do a debate, and it's only marginally. He's got to be Demosthenes in the second debate, if there is one, to counter what happened there, just to give his people cover. He said, well, okay, he had that one bad night, and last night wasn't great, but it was better. Now, I don't know if that's going to work. On the other hand, it's early enough. What is it? 4 months, 5 months? It's
4 months to the election, if you're thinking the election, but they're going
in my own mind, I thought Trump was dead after the Hollywood tapes. So he's not Trump. And the trouble with Trump is not the same, anywhere near the same as the trouble with Biden. So you can cover up the trouble with Trump with stories and all. He's always that way. He's a tough guy. But you can't cover up Joe Biden's ineptitude and cognition.
Yeah, you know, that to me is, you don't bounce back from the cognition issue.
And you don't get better. You don't get better from that problem. I mean, you might have a good day, but he wants 1,444 more days. No, I don't think so.
Well, yeah.
What about you? What about you, Ed? Have you got cognitive problems?
Yeah, I do.
You were a little slow there. You looked.
Yeah. Yes, in fact, I do. I'm having trouble trying to figure out how the hell the Democrats get themselves out of a mess that they created for themselves by closing the primary.
I know. That's the delicious irony of it, you know, is that this is what the prominent theme in Greek tragedy was, that the leader struggles valiantly and then by his own pride he loses. And he did. And he wanted the debate. He wanted the network. He wanted the anchors. He wanted the microphone off. He wanted no audience. He got it all and blew it. Yeah. And, that's just so delicious karma.
I just have to think that these guys are outsmarting themselves.
That's the phrase. That's the phrase.
I've never thought that they were strategic geniuses in the first place. These guys are tactical. They're mediocre in tactics and terrible on strategy. I can't imagine why they thought that this was going to work out. It's the reason why when they did this, I assumed that they were doing this just to sort of make Joe Biden look like he was fearless. And then as soon as Donald Trump got convicted in Manhattan, they'd say, well, it's inappropriate for the United States to share the stage with a convicted felon, right? And it took 40 minutes, 45 minutes for Biden to finally use a convicted felon in the debate. And this is another thing that Donald Trump obviously prepped, because as soon as he dropped that one on them, he started talking about Hunter Biden being a convicted felon, and that put an end to it.
Yeah.
Joe Biden didn't want to have that conversation on stage.
It's so sordid. I posted a picture of an otter praying and saying, I think everybody in the country is praying for a way out of this awful mess. It's tawdry. It's scary.
I think you may be right. I think everybody's praying for a way out. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of a way out, got to go to redstate.com to read Andrew's column on that. Joe Biden is the cheap fake. Do you have a joke for today? Because honestly, I was struggling for it today too.
I think the debate was the joke of the week.
The joke of the year, really, honestly. But I'll give you one just so we can go out on a chuckle or two. Jokesoftheday.net. A wealthy man was having an affair with an Italian woman for several months, and I heartily approve of Italian women, by the way. One night during their rendezvous, she confided to him that she'd gotten pregnant. And not wanting to ruin his reputation or his marriage, he paid her a large sum of money to go to Italy to have and raise a child, he was going to provide child support, make sure that she was well taken care of until the child turned 18 and she agrees to do this. So she says, I'll move to Italy, but what do I do when the baby's born? How do I let you know? And he says, well, what you do is you send me a postcard and just write spaghetti on the back. And then at that point, I'll start making the payments. So one day, 9 months later, came home to his wife and she had a confused look on her face. And she says, honey, you've received a very strange postcard today. And he says, well, just give it to me and I'll tell you what it's about. So the wife gives him the postcard and watched as her husband read the card, turned white, and fainted. And on the card was written, spaghetti, 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 two with meatballs, one without.
Oh, boy.
It's a spicy meatball.
It's a spicy meatball. Yeah.
Well, that's jokesoftheday.net. I like to go over there and see if there's anything fun over there. There usually is. So go over there and check it out yourself.
And of course, go to
Twitter, because the prince of Twitter, the regent of redstate.com, is a spicy meatball himself. Andrew Malcolm at AH Malcolm on Twitter, redstate.com. Andrew, we'll get together again next week and do it all over again.